and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? We are so excited that you're here this morning with us. If you would love, if you would like to stand with us and worship, we're just going to go into a few songs that you probably will know. And you can also come to the front if you would like, but we're just going to get right into it.
Joy to the world.
Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. I like to say it the better way. Merry Jesusmas. Amen. Plus, that irritates people. So we just want to say thank you so much for being with us. First service was phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I don't know what they're bringing usually. They don't tell me what they're doing. And I was so blessed in first service. It is such a good production. You are going to be overwhelmingly blessed. So, Pastor Rhonda, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hello, good morning. It is a great day to be able to celebrate the reason for this season. You know, we get caught up in all the hustle and bustle, and really, this is what it's all about. So, thank you for coming together this morning so we can celebrate Jesus.
We want to welcome all of our guests. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We want to thank you for allowing us to speak the Word of God into your life. And we know that when you leave this place, you'll be very blessed. So let's open a prayer. Father, we just love you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on that cross and raising from the dead. Thank you that this is not a dead religion, but a living relationship. Thank you, Jesus, that today we get to celebrate your birthday and declare, God, that you are good and that your mercies endure forever. So we ask that you'll fill this room, Holy Spirit. Change our lives from the inside out. Minister to us, change us, bless us, encourage us, strengthen us, heal us, deliver us, save us. God, do what you do best. Just love your family. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's worship together.
Faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore, sing, oh come, oh come, yeah,
hallelujah.
Him Christ the Lord,
come on and sing, sing,
sing choirs of angels, singing exaltation, oh sing.
Sing this out just one more time. Sing, oh,
oh, come, let us sing.
Come on, he's worthy, right? Come on, come on, he's worthy. Come on, he's amazing, right? We'll adore his name forevermore. We'll love on our God forevermore, right? So let's just one more time lift every hand in here and let's sing this out just one more time.
Oh, come, let us
adore. Just the voices, just the voices. This is what it'll sound like at his throne. Come on, come on.
Him Christ the Lord.
Come on and give him glory.
Oh, come let us.
Come on and give him glory, give him honor.
Shout this morning. Come on, tell him you love him this morning. Jesus, we bless you, God. Isn't he good? How many of you had your sins washed away? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, come, let us adore him. There's a reason to adore him, because he paid a price that we didn't have to pay. Amen. God is good. I said, God is good. Amen. This morning, we're going to just take a few minutes and just get to meet somebody you may not have ever met before. And so we're asking if you'll just go out and shake a few hands, tell them you love them. Take 3 minutes and just go tell somebody, good morning, I've got a good Savior. Go ready? Go, come on, go find somebody. Go find somebody.
We should go behind the stage, guys.
Yeah. Then.
All right.
And pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Uh, Pastor Dan?
Decorating the tree.
Why are you decorating
it? I mean, it's kind of like, I love decorating trees and I just get really involved.
That's cute.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Have fun with that.
Oh, hey. Look at my halo.
Nice.
We're going to be having Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock right here. So make sure you still invite friends and family. Let's light some candles. And something new we're doing this year is we're decorating cookies. So come early at 6 o'clock and let's have fun as a family.
Brace yourself for an epic blizzard blast.
New Year's Rockin' Eve takes the country by storm with John Legend, Gloria Estefan, Lionel Richie.
Guest 97000. You'll be able to register right there and we'll be able to bless you right online. Next Sunday is our end of the year bash. You don't want to miss next Sunday morning. We're going to have balloons. We're going to have cake. We're going to have noisemakers. We're going to have testimonies. Some of you are saying this year has been horrible. Some of you are saying, no, this has been the best year of my life. Either way, we're going to usher it out. Amen. And usher in the greatness of the new year. The next year is even going to be greater than the new year. Hi, how are you? You need a tissue? You're going to need a lot. Isn't that such a good, it's a great production, isn't it? Glenice, I love Glenice. Does everybody know Glenice? Everybody shout at Glenice. So, this morning, we just want to welcome all of our guests. Now, I am going to ask this, if you, while the production is on, if you could stay out of the aisles, there's activity happening in the aisles. We don't want you run over, no catastrophes, and we don't want to raise anybody from the dead. Amen? Thank you. So let's welcome Pastor Rhonda as she receives the morning offering.
Amen. As we enter into this time, I know this season has been busy and everybody's out thinking about what they're going to give and gifts for this person and maybe what you're going to get. But in all of that busyness, we as a church family have decided that we wanted to make sure that we set aside a gift for the King, for Jesus, because it's his birth that we're celebrating. And so if you're a part of this house, for over a month now, we've been talking about setting aside our gift for the King. And this morning is the morning we get to give those gifts in honor of the King. So if you've prepared those, the red envelopes are set for you to give your birthday gift for King Jesus. We'll have a golden bucket right up here in the center for you to bring those gifts to. And we will also have offering buckets halfway and up front for you to be able to give. In this house, we give our tithe, which is just according to the word of God. In so many different scriptures, it says to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And tithe simply means 10%. And so in this house, that's what we do. So this is the time where we would bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And we make a supernatural declaration. So if you'll stand to your feet with us, we make a declaration again, straight from the word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. And when you declare this today, I want you to declare it with us like we do every week, knowing when the word goes forth, it has to produce. It cannot return void. It will happen as the word goes forth. So as we decree this, repeat it after me, I want you to say it knowing that you are moving and shifting things in the atmosphere. You're moving your money from the natural to the supernatural. And man, when the supernatural shows up, we hear testimony after testimony of what God does when we make our money supernatural. So are you ready to repeat with me? Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings forward to the Lord. There's a golden bucket right here for your gifts for Jesus. Your special birthday gifts. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I just thank God for our praise and worship team. Amen. They just love God. They bring us into the presence of the Lord all the time. We're getting ready to start a production this morning that, like I said earlier, I was blown away in the first service. It is so powerful. And today, the title of it is His Absolute Love. Turn to someone and say, God absolutely loves you. Amen. And today we get to experience that. You know, some of you believe in God. Some of you don't believe in God. Some of you are in love with Jesus. We're all in a different place with the Lord. But this morning, I just want to encourage you as you watch this production, just to allow God's Spirit to work in your heart. I know that you'll be blessed. So let's enjoy together the production.
believe she's gone. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know it. And it all happened so fast.
No.
It was so fast. I mean, 1 minute, she was fine, like every other year. And then the next, oh, man, she just.
I know, Jack. It's going to be all right. This isn't the first storm our family's been through, and we made it through all the others. We'll make it through this, too. And we know she's in heaven, so at least we have that.
Yeah. She's probably really needed up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. hey, Jesus, I know you can hear me. You know our entire family tradition in the holidays is completely centered around going to Graham's house, right? The cookies, decorating the cookies, the gifts, the time with each other as a family around the Christmas tree. How are we supposed to rearrange that in a week and a half? It's okay, though. It's okay. I'm sure with all of your heavenly glory and all of your angels up there, you just had to take Graham, too.
Jack, you know that's not how it works.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't know anymore. But what I do know is this was the first time that I got down on my knees and I prayed. And I prayed for God to heal Graham, but he took her anyway.
Do you think maybe she got up to heaven with Jesus and she didn't want to come back down? I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. That's the word of God, Jack. Jesus doesn't take life, he gives it. Grant took care of all of us. We're all hurt right now.
Us. Took care of us.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what it is like to be adopted by a couple who can't have kids and then, seemingly out of nowhere, God grants them a miracle child? You know how many family photos I was left out of? Family vacations I just didn't get to go on. Just dropped off at Graham's house while you, Mom, and the boys just drove off and had a great time. Mom and Dad probably would have just given me back to the adoption agency if it wasn't for Graham. You may be too young to remember stuff like that, but I do.
That's not true. Mom and Dad love you. They were just overwhelmed. You and I don't know what it's like to be told we could never have kids, and then bam, back to back to back, three kids in a row. And you're right, I was young, but I do remember how much trouble you used to get into. Fights at school, skipping class, taking liquor out of the liquor cabinet. Mom and Dad, they just didn't know what to do with you.
They didn't know what to do? Now you're defending them. Unbelievable. You will never understand what it is like to be treated like a mistake. Like a regret.
You're right. I'm sorry. I don't understand. And I'm not going to pretend like I do. But our family needs us to be strong right now. Your nieces and nephew, they need us to be strong. Mom and Dad need us to be strong.
I don't want to hear that right now, okay? Graham is gone. She's gone. She was my strength.
I know.
She was everything.
Hey, Uncle Jack. Do you think you have any games that I can play on your phone?
Hey, how's it going? One, don't sneak up behind me. Ever. Two, no.
What are you doing in here? I thought you were with your brothers.
I got bored.
You got bored? Really? All yeah. Those games back there?
Of your grandmother's will and dividing up her belongings accordingly. And everything that's left in the house, she's asked us to give you these. Isabella.
Thank you.
And Jack.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I can't believe this. If Graham took time to write us letters, she must have known she was going to pass away.
No, if Graham knew that she was going to pass, she would have told us. There's no way.
I'm going to tell you. I can't even read this right now, I don't think.
I read it, Mom.
Okay, go ahead.
Dearest Bella, if you're reading this, then that means I'm finally with Jesus. Although I'm gone, I know our family will be all right because you've been praying for them right along with me, just like I taught you. Our family needs you now that you're the only one who truly knows Jesus. It's time for you to be strong and trust in the Lord now more than ever before. The seeds we've both been planting in your brothers and sisters all these years are finally starting to spring up. Do not give up on them. They're almost ready, even Jack.
Whoa! Pause. What is that supposed to... Even Jack?
Uncle Jack, no offense, but I've never seen you go to church. And you may have a few Bibles, but they all have a few inches of dust on them.
Hey, don't talk to your uncle like that. Just keep reading, please.
Then no offense. Family is the most important thing we could ever have. The whole reason Jesus came was to restore the family that God created in the garden. Even though I'm gone, I know Jesus can restore our family all over again. With all my love, Graham.
Family. In the garden. Family in the Garden of Eden. Okay. There were two naked people eating fruit, listening to the voices in their heads. Sounds more like a grassroots concert, not a family reunion. Sorry.
No, that's not true. Greg Graham used to go over creation with me all the time.
Actually, she did do creation with her a lot.
Neat.
Here, I think this was hers.
It is. It is Graham's Bible. You remember it?
All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering.
Oh, it's hovering, dear, hovering.
Thanks, Mom. Hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said,
"Let there be light."
And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Let's see. Oh, in verse 14 it says, "Then God said,
let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs for seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down onto the earth."
And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And then he made all the animals in the oceans. There was all kinds of animals, and there was stingrays, fish of all kinds. Can you even imagine how amazing it must have been? Oh. Look, Mom, jellyfish, starfish, and you.
What?
See, look. There's a fish, there's a hermit crab, there's coral, there's clams. There's a crab. There's some weed, flounders. That one looks like Dory. There's an octopus.
All right, stop.
Buzzkill.
Okay, what does all of this have to do with family and with Christmas? I mean, get out of here!
Jack.
Bye-bye.
Jack. Jack.
What?
Can you just let your niece share the word of God with you for a minute, please?
Okay, that's the thing. I don't mind hearing about God or whatever, but let's stick to the point. Okay, could I just see Graham's letter that
she... Sure.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, here. The whole reason Jesus came was to restore the family that God created in the garden.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
Fine. Thank you. Let's see. God takes the rib, birds, animals, blah, 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 blah. Okay, here in chapter 2. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He then brought them to the man, so he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of his ribs and closed up the opening. He then made a woman out of the rib and he brought her to the man.
Okay, can we, like, speed this up, you know, get to the point, please?
Okay. You see, the point is, Uncle Jack, that God, Adam, and Eve were all like a big family in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they messed up how the family was supposed to work. You see, now that Jesus came and rose again, plus, we have the Holy Spirit. There's no more separation between God and his family.
Oh, babe, I'm so proud of you. You've been listening during kids' church. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
It's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale, kid.
Babe, I haven't heard your brothers in a while. Can you go check on them, make sure they're doing okay? Thank you. Jack.
Hi, Bella.
Listen, if you don't want to believe the word of God, even though I know that you know it's true, that's on you. But please, please don't tell my daughter that the word of God is a fairy tale.
But don't you see how insane this is?
No, I don't.
Okay. How is God supposed to reconcile his family together and then at the exact same time take the only person who has proven to be my true family in a week and a half before Christmas? That makes no sense. None. And we may have grown up in the same household, the same family, but we lead completely different lives, and you kept yours. I lost mine.
Jack, wait. Jesus, I know you didn't take Graham, but I also know she's up in heaven with you right now. My family is so hurt and confused. Please send someone, anyone, that can they'll listen to. Do only what I know you can do. Soften Jack's heart. Heal his wounds. Let him see that it doesn't matter what his earthly family looks like. The Abba Father, you love him perfectly. I believe it's already done. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know I left it here somewhere. That's Bella's. No. Come on. Come on. I mean, really? You had to take the letter too? Thanks. Where did I put it?
Uncle Jack.
Now is really not the time.
But I have to tell you something.
Well, go find your mom and tell her.
I did something bad.
Let's hear it. Oh, thank God.
Thought you didn't believe in him.
Shut it. Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Did you open this? That's not okay, Madison. Okay, you can't just take people's personal property and then go through it. That's stealing. But on the other hand, your mom is going to kill you.
We don't have to tell her.
Why not?
Oh, I know you're the one who's been stealing great-grandma's peanut butter balls before dinner every year. I've seen you do it. I have photo evidence.
I know you're the one who takes the peanut butter balls. I took the picture.
Prove it. How did you get that?
Oh, this one, Uncle Jack, is from 3 years ago. I have plenty more where that came from.
You got me.
Grandma had panicked for years. Last year she got so mad and went into a war room, rebuking the devourer, shouting in tongues.
I remember that. because she was like... Yeah, I remember that. She had to know it was me taking them,
she
though.
Had no
she
clue.
Had to know.
No.
I should probably read this, huh? Mm. Not that it's any surprise to you.
Sorry. Then again, before you do that, please let me finish the story of Jesus.
No. Okay, no. I know the story. Joseph and Mary, they go to Bethlehem.
Let me tell it. Please.
No.
Please?
You are so spoiled.
Yeah.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah of the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God the highest in heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." was kind of adopted too. He came from a family where Joseph and Mary weren't his real parents. He knew, though, that God was his real father. I hope that you someday realize that we're all somehow adopted into God's family. Guess you should read a letter from Graham now. I think you'll like it.
Dear Jack, Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. Luke 8:21. But Jesus answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." John 1:12. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. This whole time you tried to get me to see that I do have a real family, and I never wanted to see it.
I'm so glad you finally realize, no matter how messed up our earthly family may be, we are loved so perfectly by our Heavenly Father, and we are part of His family. Hey, let's go finish our Christmas shopping, let's go. Oh, wait a minute. I recently just saw this picture. It was really suspicious. It was you and some peanut butter balls.
We shook on it. Madison! Maddie, where are you?
That's what family's for.
Wasn't that amazing? Can you give him another hand clap this morning? Right now I have just a phenomenal privilege and an honor, and that is to say to you what I know Jesus would want to say to you if he was standing here personally. You see, that is one of the greatest privileges of preaching the gospel, is not bringing a message of my own, but being able to pray and ask God, what do you want to say to your family? You see, that's the passion of God. God's passion is not to build church. There's so many misconceptions in today's world about God and church and religion. And I want you to realize that God was very clear from the very beginning, everything that he absolutely wanted. Do you know what he wants? He wants a family. He wants you. See, this is not about religion and going to church. Going to church is powerful because you have your church family. But really, this is all about knowing God. This is all about God coming after you. Because God's passion is building a family. And that's how he started this whole thing. He created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden and blessed them. And this is what I know about my God. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. He put them in the garden and he spent time with them. But then, honestly, I believe it's the saddest verse in the entire Bible. It's found in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. You see, the passion of God is spending time with his family. The passion of God is spending time with his children. The passion of God is that you know him and he already knows you. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he said to them, "Don't touch this tree." There's probably absolutely nothing wrong with that tree. But what he was doing was giving them the opportunity to love him and to obey him and in relationship and in a family working properly. That day they made a decision. They made a decision to eat of the fruit. Immediately their eyes came open. You see, the devil told them, "You shall not surely die if you eat this." And that was, I want you to know, the devil only ever tells you half truths. They didn't drop dead, but something did die that day. A sense of their family died that day. What God's plan was with his family changed that day. We know that because in Genesis 3:9, he walked into the garden. Now, come on, we all know that God's GPS is not broken. He knew where Adam and Eve were. He knew where they were standing. But something came out of the innermost part of who he is. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And out of his spirit, he declared, "Where are you?" He missed them already. He missed that relationship. He missed that walking in the cool of the day. He missed that family. You see, sin is the most powerfully separating process that's on this planet. For the wages of sin is death, and God cannot have sin because he's holy in his presence. That's why we must realize that the greatest thing that's our enemy is sinning. The devil's already defeated, amen. But our choice to sin separates us from God, and that's exactly what happened. Family became detached. Some of you feel that detached. See, for some of you, this is a very difficult season because some of you have lost family members. Some of you, this is a difficult situation because maybe you've never had, or you felt like Jack. You felt like, "I'm part of a family, but I'm really not." For some, it's a joyous season. For some, it's a difficult season. But what God wants you to know about sending his son, Jesus, he was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, God already had a plan to restore his family because his passion, his heartbeat, his love is to have you and I as his family to walk with him, talk with him, and know that for all of eternity we'll be with him. Family. Jesus came, and that's what we're celebrating. Jesus came only for one reason. You. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how understanding you are. It doesn't matter how intellectual you are. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how young you are, how old you are. I just want you to know this one thing. The very heartbeat of heaven, the very desire of God himself, as Jesus would stand here today and say, "I just want you. I want you as part of my family. I want you. I'm willing, and I did come and die just for you." Now, we all know that family is somewhat dysfunctional. Amen. How many are living in a dysfunctional family? How many are living there because of you? Amen. We all have issues. Amen. But I want you to know that God, your Father, doesn't have issues, and He is very clear in His design and desire. On this Christmas service that we're celebrating, and in a few days, the Christmas morn that we'll be celebrating with our family, God wants you more than anything else to be part of His family so that you will know Him. You see, He made a declaration, and why Christ came and died on the cross is so that somebody could pay for the sin that we committed. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The truth is that somebody has to pay for the sin. You've heard people say, how could a good God send anybody to hell? And I want you to know that God can't send and would not send anybody to hell. But somebody has to pay for sin. And when we choose not to be part of the family of God, we choose not to become part of the family of heaven, we choose not to accept Jesus Christ, we're actually saying, I don't want that family, I'll make my own family, and I'll pay for my own sin. But Jesus said, that's not what my plan is at all. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. And Jesus said, I laid my life down for one reason. So that you could call upon my name. So that my blood and my sacrifice would pay for the sin that you and I committed. And he said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. It's not saved to where you and I are just religious. It's saved to where you and I are now given the right to be called children of God. Family. Everybody wants a family. Everybody wants to feel that love. And I want you to know this morning that that's what God has for you. The Bible says that we become members of His own household in Ephesians chapter 2. He says in Romans chapter 8, not only am I going to make you my kids, but I'm making you heirs of my kingdom. And by the way, you're also a joint heir of my son Jesus. That means whatever Jesus has, you and I have. That means you and I can walk in the authority and the power. We're not less than, we're sons and daughters of God. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for family. Romans chapter 8. I have a pastor friend of mine who struggles with, over the years, with the sense of adoption. He was adopted. And this last year, God really touched his life, just like Jack, to where there's a settling in his spirit that God is now his father. That he was never unwanted, but God knew him before he ever formed him. And today I want you to know that. I don't know who you are, but God does. I don't know your life situation, but God does. And God is saying this. I want you to come home. I've got a family for you. I love you. And though you have issues, I'm such a loving father, I'll work them through with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the earth. If God is for you, who could be against you? See, religion is a bunch of quotations. But when you got a family, it's not words anymore. It's real. God is calling you to his family today. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity not to join a church or a religion. That's never been God's plan. But for you to join a family. The family of God. The household of faith. Where you will call him father and he will call you child. Oh, come on now. He loves you so much. He'll be there in your times of hurt. And he'll be there in the times of joy. He'll be there in the times of weakness. And He'll be there in the times of strength. He's a faithful God, a faithful Father. We got a good Father. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been trying to pay your own sins down, and I want you to know you'll never be able to do it. But today you want to have the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. That's why he came, born in a manger. Today you want him to be your Savior so you can join the family, be part of God's house. Wash your sins away. Make you an heir of God. Today, if that's you, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone this morning that would like Jesus? Hi, baby girl. Come on. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else this morning that would like Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four, three, two, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. I challenge you to make this more than just a religious thing that you did on a Sunday morning in December on the 23rd. That you really grasp and understand that God's family is massive. And that you can be engulfed, entrusted, and in love. And God will bless your life. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing right now in Jesus' name over this congregation, your family. Lord, they said they all knew you as their Lord. They said they all knew you and are part of the family. And I pray in the name of Jesus that each one of us, as we are surrounding the tree in a few days, that God, as we're surrounding that tree with our natural family, that we'll be able to share the good news that they too can have their sins washed away. They too can be part of a family of God. They too can have God as their heavenly Father. I pray, God, that you'll give us that opportunity to share it with one of our loved ones. And that, Lord, this week, the greatest present we can give to you is somebody else's life. Lord, sharing the gospel. Lord, I speak blessing as we go our way. Let today be just relaxing and enjoying. God, let this week, oh God, be a blessed week. And Father, we just thank you that next week when we come back, we're going to shout the joys of this year. God, declare the goodness of 19 and show forth the glory of God. And Lord, we just give you all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar. If you didn't raise your hand, you want to give your heart to the Lord. If you'll make your way to Mindy right now, she's in the blue. We just love you. Don't forget, there are animals out there to pet. Watch out. The camel does like to lick faces. Amen. Tomorrow night, Christmas Eve service, 7 p.m. Make sure you bring your loved ones. It's a 1-hour service. It will be awesome. I'll see you there.